Welcome to Salon TV. Today I'll be joined by businessman, Grammy Award-winning rapper and activist Killer Mike to talk about his new 6-episode Netflix original series, Trigger Warning, a collection of social powerful experiments dealing in business, education, and entrepreneurship with the purpose of reshaping American perception.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I love this show. Thank you. I loved it. It was like, you know, and I'm not even saying this just because we're sitting here on camera, but it was like one of the most inspiring things I've seen in the last 10 years.
Thank you so much.
How'd you come up with the concept?
Well, we've been trying to do it for 10 years. Me and Daniel Weidenfeld, Vernon, and you know, Vikram, who directed, you know, and Nick Weidenfeld, who's older than Daniel's, Daniel's older brother, used to be over at Vice. We got together and we did it, but Daniel and I have been throwing this around for 10 years, you know. I have friends that don't look like me. Daniel is one of those friends. He's a little short Jewish guy from D.C. I'm a big black guy from the South. But we had all these commonalities, and our friendship kind of transcended, you know, stereotypes. And, I'm, you know, we have these lively discussions and what ifs and if this were possible. And we wanted to bring some of my thoughts and ideas and some of the discussions we've had to television. We tried it once. FX gave us an opportunity to do Trigger Warning. And we didn't like it. We overproduced it. It was a little too TV, and that's not what we were trying to do.
You feel like Netflix gave you that freedom to just be yourself?
Yeah, and a much smaller budget, so you had to you had to do it this way.
But you're tackling some big topics, so let's go over some of the basic themes without giving away too much. Education.
Yep. The black dollar. And the reason the black dollar is important is because other communities keep the dollar in their community longer. The dollar then it forms an infrastructure in that community and builds that community up, and that community contributes in a greater way to the larger community. So the black community, a dollar only stays in our community 6 hours. The Spanish community, about 11 days. Jewish and white community, 22 and 23 days. Asian community, 28 days. So you can judge the success of a people individually and the community's success by the ability to keep a dollar in the community.
I had arguments with people, really rough conversations with people who think more traditional. They're not just outside of the box. They don't have big ideas like you have. And the conversations is based around the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And would you call the civil rights movement a failure from an economic standpoint? Like listening to speeches like Malcolm's Ballot and the Bullet, and you know, and how it was like a big transfer of wealth when desegregation happened.
Well, let's not look at how I look at it. Let's look at how Dr. King would look at it.
Okay.
If you look at King in the wilderness in his last 2-3 years of life, civil rights in terms of civil equality for black people was something he had accomplished. Mm-hmm. If that was his only mission, then his mission was accomplished, but it wasn't.
Right.
The eradication of war, the eradication of poverty, and the allocation of funds back to people who had worked here for free was a big part of his agenda. He was killed for his opposition to war. He was reviled for trying to unite workers, black and white, and he was further reviled by the black elite in terms of the black middle class at that time because he started talking about money. Mm-hmm. And he started talking about money in the way of, at one point, the United States was giving land lotteries to people who would be willing to immigrate here or farm land and do things of that nature, and that's not an opportunity we've ever been afforded.
Right.
Because of that opportunity never being afforded, we have been left on the wrong end of a huge wealth gap, and we've not been allowed to build wealth and in that way become the strong community that we then ended up becoming. After slavery in the Reconstruction period, African Americans had to start their own banks, like the Freedmen's Banks. African Americans had to start their own businesses and deal with one another. So economically, our communities were stronger. You know, Black Wall Street in Tulsa was not a phenomenon that happened and they burned it down and it was just that. There was Auburn Avenue in Atlanta, right? There was Inglewood in California. There was Harlem in New York. So you had all these social and economic centers all across the United States, wherever we were. When we lost that with integration, and I didn't say we lost it like it was taken from us, we started taking our dollar out of our communities. My grandfather always told me that was one of the greatest losses we took. Mm-hmm. Integration not only allowed us into the greater community, it took our dollar out and we lost a lot.
Right.
You know, we lost black bus companies. We lost black restaurants. We lost black hotels. You know, the Green Book, people going to see that movie, The Green Book now. Green Books were actually a thing where if you were black and you were traveling up and down the East Coast or out throughout the United States of America, there were a book that you could get that would allow you to see where were the black gas stations, the black gas stations, hotels, restaurants you could go to, so you'd be safe.
So you didn't have a choice, right?
Yeah, and you had to go there. If we would have kept the mentality that we still had to support our own, then you might not have Major League Baseball. Negro League Baseball may be the premier baseball, right, you know, in the United States. You know,
but then it's the whole mentality of the white man has cold ice.
Yeah. And you can't, it's not your fault. I'm not pointing at black people like, oh, mm-hmm. you're wrong. Look at you, you're fools. I mean, when you've been given a white messiah, hell yeah, you're going to think white ice is colder. Right. You have never been allowed to see divinity in yourself. So how can you have the confidence to think that my ice is colder when in fact it could be?
And then your big idea to fix this was Black Friday.
Yes. Black Friday is not a tremendously big idea. My big ideas are very small, localized things you can do.
Okay.
Right? I don't want you to think I have to take my entire life saving and I have to take it to this black bank. Because when I'm saying black bank, what I'm really saying is small, local, or regional. Right?
Okay.
So if you're a member of Mechanics and Farmers or Carver Bank or Citizens Trust Bank, then I know locally or regionally this is where my banking centers are, right? The same way if you're with Signature Bank or if you're with Regions Bank, right? Those are smaller banks. I'm saying an alternative to larger banks that don't care as much about small business loans or your potential mortgage loans are these banks. So when I say black banks, I'm saying local.
Right.
So when you pivot to those banks and you allow yourself an opportunity to support that, you're supporting yourself and you support the bigger economy because those banks then are giving loans out to businesses, mortgages, things of that nature.
And we're not seeing it.
We
need to figure out a way to get on top of that.
Yeah, so Black Friday is what Black Fridays allow you to do in a very small version is find a black business and support it. So if you're in Atlanta, it could be Sublime Donuts instead of Krispy Kreme.
Right.
You know, if you're, you know, in Baltimore, it could be whoever is the old lady that makes crab cakes at her own little spot for 50 years versus going to Phillips Seafood. But you have to start making these decisions because that keeps the dollar in your community longer than 6 hours. TII right now. We both give away bikes. We both give away turkeys and clothes and stuff throughout the year. And that feels philanthropic. It's a very nice feeling. But that's not going to have the same effect of when we open a restaurant. There's a 50-year-old restaurant called Bankhead Seafood. I wanted to buy a Dodge Demon. You know, who knows? Tip might have wanted to buy another Rolls Royce truck. Mm-hmm. But we didn't do that. We bought this restaurant together.
Right.
And this restaurant is going to potentially give 20 people jobs. And it's going to have that old lady's legacy go another 50 years. And if we become a regional chain, it'll be 100, 200 jobs. That's really changing the environment through changing the economy versus giving people what we call philanthropy or charity.
So as people know who listen to your music and who will watch this show or who saw you give speeches, that you're an extremely intelligent person, right? You're very smart. Education.
Yeah.
It's another topic. It's another topic that you touch. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, we don't have to talk about everything in the show because I think that everyone should be watching this show.
Yeah.
It's extremely brilliant. But what I will say is what we see in a lot of schools is they do the same failed things over and over and over again. If I'm in East Baltimore in the middle of all of this wildness and craziness and brilliance and magic, why are you giving me books like Huckleberry Finn? Why aren't you trying to touch on some contemporary things that could speak to me?
Yeah, Huckleberry Finn is important, but it is not more important than the Iceberg Slim Collection. Huckleberry Finn is important. And also, Pimp by Iceberg Slim is important.
But Pimp is going to get me to read.
Absolutely.
Huckleberry Finn will not get me to read. So, if you give me Pimp first and then recommend Huckleberry Finn secondly, then maybe I'll say, okay, what is this guy Tom Sawyer? What is he talking about?
Therein lies the key. Approach me or connect with me at my level of interest. And once you connect with me at my level of interest, you make it easier to introduce new things to me.
But schools are saying, well, we don't want to, you know, we're not going to play... We're not going to play, you know, this rapper or this song, but we're going to give you Shakespeare and we're going to triple down on it. And then kids aren't gravitating towards Shakespeare, which is brilliant. Yeah. But again, it has to be put in context and it has to be introduced in the right way.
Shouts out to Ms. Potts. Ms. Potts and Ms. Colson were two of my greatest English teachers I ever had. They both, once they saw that I understood, Bun B told me, rap will forever be around for the same reason Shakespeare will be around. Because it deals basically with the same primal human emotions. Love, envy, jealousy, revenge, hate, love. And you deal with all those things in blues music, rock music, rap music, that you love them for the same reasons. But if you don't give a child, like I read Iceberg Slim and I read Shakespeare. I saw the similarities.
Right.
Iceberg Slim, Robert Beck as a writer, is one of the most theatrically descriptive writers. He doesn't say a prostitute walks in a room. He describes her like Ginger in Casino. Lets you know what outfit she had on, what she smelled. You become a part of that. Shakespeare wrote in the very same way. He wrote in a way that pulled you into Hamlet, that pulled you into Macbeth. So once you get that, I became the kid that got to translate that to the class. So they encouraged me by engaging me where I was.
Yeah, I feel like it goes back to what you say. Like, it has to be put in the proper context so
Absolutely.
That people can receive it.
But school's not for that. We have to remember, school is for training us to be institutionalized. Schools and jails are basically the same color on the inside. You have to file against the walls the same way you do. They're to make you obey, and they're to make everyone agree on a commonality of a perception of Western dominance. That's what our schools do. They train you to be good Americans. That's why you're supposed to stand up for the pledge. That's why they don't liberate your mind. If schools were really about liberating your mind, then we'd do something similar to what they do in Japan. Kindergartners would have to clean up the areas they mess up. We would have, like in the school, Paideia School in Atlanta, you would have class outside. You would learn to do things like they're doing at the YMCA, the Andrew Young and Walter Young YMCA in Atlanta, where kids are growing their own food. They're growing their own fish and tilapia and shrimp to sell to restaurants, because school would educate you. I remember my grandfather, I was tying a tie for seventh grade prom, mm-hmm. and he said, boy, what are they learning you in school that you don't know how to tie a tie? I didn't understand that school in his day taught the whole human being, because their parents were sharecroppers. Their parents were right out of slavery. Their parents had never worn ties in some cases. So school had to teach you everything. School had to teach you how to balance a checkbook, had to teach you how to cook and things of that nature. So I think that there's a practicality we're missing. When I was in high school, you could take wood shop, you could take auto mechanics, you could take aviation mechanics, you could take art, you could take a plethora of other things that were not academically based, that you weren't going to go to college and get a bachelor's for, but that want to be practical and applicable in the real world. If we do not return to that as a nation, not just black people, if we do not return to that as a nation, we're doomed. For the next 20 years in the part of the nation I live in, which is the Southeast, right? I live in Georgia. We're building a $9 billion port, I think, in Savannah. Uh-huh. We're also going to be dealing with business in Charleston and in Miami. The major jobs that are going to be coming, there are 70,000 truck driving jobs coming that are worth $90,000 or more. There are carpenter and labor jobs, concrete layer jobs. So when my son, who's 16, said, you know, I really don't want to go to college yet. I think I would like to do what you and my Montu, that's our word for stepmom, uh-huh. I'd like to get into buying and developing real estate. You know, it doesn't make sense for him to go to college. It makes more sense for him to go learn to be a tradesman.
Exactly.
So that when he buys a house, unlike his dad, who has to hire a contractor, he can get in there and get to work on his house himself.
Yeah, so, you know, like, I'm a product of an extremely failed school system, and from a tradition of failed schools. Like, my older brother, my dad, like, I don't know who my dad's dad was, but I'm pretty sure he didn't go to a good school.
Gotcha.
Because my father didn't.
Gotcha.
And I didn't. You know, so we can honestly sit here and say that it's a failed system, and we know what it's for. Can't we change it?
Yeah, absolutely we can. You look at a city like Atlanta. I went to Frederick Douglass High School, which is named for one of the most famous emancipators and educators ever, right? Our rival school was Benjamin E. Mays. Mm-hmm. So my school is named for the Barack Obama of the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And our rival is a school that is one of the greatest educators of the 20th century, and also was president of Morehouse, where the esteemed Dr. King, Spike Lee, when I went.
Right.
That's a hell of a rivalry, because it's pride either way. Mm-hmm. Either way, there's a sense of pride and fairness. We have failed in the last 25 years, the Atlanta public school system, by dismantling those once great schools. We've made them worse. We know that we need trades in schools. So people between 35 and 55 should be advocating for the people who are between 12 and 20 years old so that they get better schools. And because we're not, school boards are failing, our politicians are failing our kids, and the kids that we're saying are failing us, truly we failed. But we can change it. You know, I'm not against charter schools. A lot of people say they are. If there's a good charter school that's giving good education, I say, how do we create more of those, right? I don't say, how do we do less? You know, if public schools are somehow remiss or not doing well, how do we go in and restructure those schools to do better? Because if we don't, it's going to hurt not only our community, but the greater community.
It's like, I feel like from watching the show and hearing you speak now, you have a talent for taking complex issues and making them very simple.
Yeah.
So.
That's what old people remember.
So what about, how would you end, or what do you think we should be doing right now to end the shutdown? What should the government be doing?
I want to give shots out to the government workers that are, you know, that are enduring the shutdown. You know, friends of mine have been federal employees. Friends of mine who are veterans, have federal jobs, are waiting now, you know, on their veterans benefits because the Fed job has them on pause. TSA, even though you touch my balls every time I walk through there, you know, I care and I want you guys to have your jobs, right? And, you know, thank you guys who let me keep my weed a couple times. But as a people, we need to watch France and what they do when they have a disagreement with government. They take to the streets and they shut it all down. My suggestion is this. If the government is not reopened by March 15th, everyone in America should not pay taxes on April 15th. And watch how quickly the government opens back up.
They'll figure it out.
Goddamn right they will.
So what I'm taking.
I'm serious now. Think about what I just said.
Right, if everybody.
But that includes the police that's supposed to come get you to lock you up too.
The top 1% will be with that because they're not paying them anyway.
Everyone, you know, everyone should not pay on April 15th if the government's not back up.
Is there like anyone you looking forward to running in 2020? Anybody?
Well, you know, I like the OG. Right. You know what I mean? I like Bernie Sanders. I think the only way, you know, the only way to beat the Joker is with Batman, you know. So I think you need the antithesis of what we have in there now if you want to see that. If you just want to see, you know, a neoliberal, then there are tons of Democrats that you could like or popular, but I don't think anyone but Sanders beats them.
Yeah. Bernie as an independent or Bernie as a Democrat?
I don't care. It doesn't matter. By any means necessary means by any means necessary. Yeah, blacks were not Democrats 70 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah,
it was whatever it takes.
It was the big Eisenhower changed it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Roosevelt changed it.
Roosevelt changed it.
He sent Eleanor out there, and they was coming out the flood, and all of the displaced black people in Mississippi, and people were tied up.
But really, what it was about was, you know, promises were made that if you help us by coming into this party, this is what we can do for your community. So I grew up in a community. The Adamsville Collier Heights community, and Collier Heights, Adamsville community in Atlanta. I grew up in a gentrified community. Now, when I say that, you think white people and puppies and bikes and lattes coming to push you out of your community.
Don't forget Wi-Fi and juice bars.
Exactly. But that's not what happened. My area was bought by working class and middle class and upper class black people, and poor whites were pushed further west out into Mableton and Cobb County. So my area I grew up in was gentrified by black people, and poor whites were pushed out. You know, that happened as a part of that deal. You know.
So what would it take? What would it take for Bernie to beat Trump?
For us to get off our ass and really do it.
Would Bernie have to? Would he have to put you on a ticket?
No, I hope not. I got to make.
You are natural.
But I need to be. You know, my thing is, you know, in talking to the OG, you know, he tells me how much of campaigning or how much being a politician now seems to be money based. And I don't. That's not what I. That's not what he does, and that's not what I would want to do. You know,
by any means necessary, though.
Yeah.
But
my thing is though. Let me have enough money when I finally run for office. I'm unbribable.
Okay.
You know. Let me be. You know, because I'm the first in my family to be independently wealthy, and I'm from a decent family. We're working class folk. You know, middle class black people. They made it. You know, they farm, they toil, they save their money. I might be the first in my family who actually can leave something for my grandchildren's children. So it's my first duty to ensure that. But with that said, I do plan on holding some type of local office. I'd love to see Senator Sanders or real progressive, you know, be. If he don't or won't, I hope to just one day in my lifetime see someone like Nina Turner win a national office, like president or vice president. She's, to me, progressive. She's radical. She's an amazingly impressive politician. And I don't understand why she isn't talked about like our Shirley Chisholm, you know. So my thing is, you give me Bernie, or you give me a Nina, or you give me a Senator Fort, who was down in Georgia. You give me someone truly progressive, and I'm fine. You know?
So it takes like a lot of heart to go against some of these systems that have been seen to be oppressive, and you do that a lot. Like, you say these things, and you're very vocal. Tell us about what happened with the NRA interview, and like the backlash, or do you find yourself having to explain something in a way that enlightened people? Or
I don't mind explaining something that enlightens people. My thing is, like I showed you in my show, you have to be willing to listen to different perspectives, and by any means necessary means by any means necessary, and you got to tell a whole truth, not a half truth. Right?
And it's not easy. It's not easy to always hear a
different
side.
Not easy. And I got treated the way Malcolm was treated in the '60s. You know, the romanticized version of Malcolm that we all love and we wear as t-shirts and stuff is easy to like. But in the 60s, people didn't like Malcolm. I got put in the same position Dr. King was put in the last 3 years of his life. Everyone loves the I Have a Dream, Dr. King.
Right.
No one loves the Dr. King that rallies against the U.S. government for war. And in fact, they turned their back on him. So for me, everyone that came out against me because they didn't agree with me on that one, thank you for showing your hand.
Right.
That's fine. Now that I know you're not the one of the people who are willing to protect our community by any means necessary, I'll engage you in that way. So if it's time to talk about black stuff and sip lattes and, you know, act like we care, I'll do that with you.
Right.
But when it's time to hunt, fish, kill, and take care of our family by growing food and potentially having to shut yourself off, then you're not going to get invited to that party. Hope it works well for you where you are. I'm from a part of the country where self-reliance means self-reliance. You know, I'm not going to depend on others to feed me. I'm not going to depend on others to protect me. I'm not going to depend on other people to protect my wife.
Right.
You cannot tell me that the person who leads this country is akin to Hitler and all of a sudden ask me to turn my guns into
doesn't
the government.
Make, doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense at all. So if you don't like the platform in which I engaged another black man to talk about guns, then that's fine. Fuck the NRA. I don't care about the NRA. I belong to NAGA, the National Association of African American Gun Association, right? So if you don't care about them, fine. But find an organized way to shoot and train on a weekly basis so that you are not just a victim or a subject of an oligarch. But,
and this is why things don't change, because there's like they come up with these like a set of rules that you have to follow. You have to say certain things.
But not that you have to follow, but that
becomes publicly popular.
Absolutely.
And then people fall right in line.
Yeah. Well, you're given to. Noam Chomsky says that. You're given to. You're given two sides of an argument, but it's regulated. And you can have these wild arguments in between them, but you're never allowed to step outside and say, well, there's this other thought. Because when you talk about NRA, people naturally think Wayne LaPierre, they actually think racism and the absence of their presence when black men are shot is absolutely true.
Right.
But in 1956, they granted a charter to Robert Williams to start a chapter so that they could own guns in North Carolina to prevent the Klan from killing them and prevent people from voting. You know, the Democratic
Party. You tell the whole story.
Yeah, that's it. The Democratic Party, which has been, you know, we've been their side chick for the last 55 years. For about 100 years before that, with the most oppressive regime, and actually spawned members of the Klan. You know, so I'm not saying love or hate anything. I'm saying just know the full story going in. These things are tools for you to use. Any organization is a tool for you to use or not use, but it's just a tool. I'm not going to get mad enough at another black person to not engage you for freedom's sake because I don't like the tool you're using. There are many paths to freedom. Even though I might not be walking on the same path with you, I look forward to seeing you when we get there.
Perfect. Tell everyone about the show when it comes out. We know it comes out today, but tell everyone why they should watch it.
Trigger warning. You should watch it because it's going to trigger you. It's going to challenge you to challenge your own perception. It's going to get you out to see people who are individuals who are not like you. And I think it's going to create this type of roundtable discussion, living room discussion that progresses us all as a whole.
It's amazing TV. It's addictive. You'll love it. Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you. Look forward to season 2. We got to get a season 2.